And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, LCMS, notes the partnerships that began with the Lutheran Malaria Initiative, the LMI, are now making the response to West Africa's Ebola crisis easier, an unanticipated benefit of the project. With our experience in doing the Lutheran Malaria Initiative, we had no problem organizing an Ebola relief project to assist the church and people of Liberia, said Bishop Amos Bole of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Liberia, the ELCL. With a good structure in place, you can easily do other new projects. Bishop Bole said that with support from the LCMS and Lutheran World Relief, the LWR, the ELCL is readily able to provide relief supplies to churches, hospitals and quarantine centres in Liberia in response to the crisis. When people are being quarantined, the next problem becomes the need for food, and so we quickly responded with large supplies of food, especially rice and oil, along with chlorine and buckets for hand washing as prevention against the deadly Ebola epidemic, he said. Partnerships with governmental and non-governmental agencies also are essential to responding to Ebola. Such partnerships have been established faster than normal through LMI. One of our goals is helping our partner churches build capacity in accessing additional funding once all the LMI funds have been depleted, said Martha Mitkos, the LCMS's campaign director for the Lutheran Malaria Initiative, a cooperative project of the LCMS and LWR. In order to do that, we must help partner churches establish relationships with their local governments and organizations like the Global Fund, the President's Malaria Initiative, and USAID. It can take years for these relationships to develop. However, things have moved really fast in Liberia because of the connections and expertise of our local consultant, Dr. Masoko Fala. Mitkos said Fala is an epidemiologist and public health specialist with extensive knowledge and expertise in the areas of malaria, Ebola and other endemic health issues affecting developing nations. She said Fala also used his expertise to help the ELCL obtain a seat with Liberia's National Malaria Steering Committee to assist in determining how malaria funds are spent in the country. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in Liberia was founded in 2009 following the merger of four separate Lutheran groups in Liberia. The church's 350 congregations, 30 schools and 11,000 members. It established altar and pulpit fellowship with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in 2012, with the LCMS ratifying that agreement at its 2013 National Convention. The LCMS has more than 2.3 million members and is part of the International Lutheran Council, a global association of confessional Lutheran churches. Earlier this year, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod announced a number of initiatives to help combat the Ebola outbreak in West Africa. The church has provided financial support to Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone. In November, the church also announced travel scholarships for medical personnel who wish to support African partners in treating Ebola. Soo-Yul Kim, doctoral student in psychological sciences, was involved in a collaborative study that found that employees who openly discuss their religious beliefs at work are often happier and have higher job satisfaction than those employees who do not. For many people, religion is the core of their lives, Kim said. Being able to express important aspects of one's life can influence work-related issues, such as job satisfaction, work performance, or engagement. It can be beneficial for organizations to have a climate that is welcoming to every religion and culture. Kim said employers might want to consider a religion-friendly policy or find ways to encourage religious expression. For example, organizations could have an office Christmas party, but could also celebrate and recognize other religious holidays and dates, such as Hanukkah, Ramadan, or Buddhist holidays. Kim has studied organizational psychology and is a co-author on a Journal of Organizational Behavior article called Applying Models of Employee Identity Management Across Cultures, Christianity in the US and South Korea. For the cross-cultural study, the researchers surveyed nearly 600 working adults from a variety of industries, including education and finance, in the US and South Korea. The surveyed employees were all Christian, but identified with a variety of denominations, including Presbyterian, Baptist, and Methodist, among others. The researchers also asked participants how important religion was to them and how it helped them to shape their identity. Results showed that employees who valued religion as a core part of their lives were more likely to disclose their religion in the workplace. Employees who felt pressure to assimilate in the workplace were less likely to disclose their religious identity, Kim said. But most significantly, the researchers found that employees who disclosed their religion in the workplace had several positive outcomes, including higher job satisfaction and higher perceived well-being. Disclosing your religion can be beneficial for employees and individual well-being, Kim said. When you try to hide your identity, you have to pretend or have to lie to others, which can be stressful and negatively impact on how you build relationships with co-workers. Kim said there are several ways employees could share their religion in the workplace. Employees might decorate their desk with a religious object, such as a cross or a calendar. They also may share stories or information about their religious beliefs during conversation, such as describing a church-related event. A kind-hearted community has rallied around to help a pensioner whose Christmas presents were stolen from under her tree. The 81-year-old victim was left devastated after thieves took two bags and a box, in total 19 wrapped gifts, from the conservatory of her home in Bridgewater, Somerset. After being left touched by a police appeal, a local firm and residents came forward to donate cash and presents to the pensioner. The victim, who has not been named, said, "People are so good. I would like to thank everyone for their kindness." The burglary took place between 10:30 p.m. on December the 19th and 7 a.m. on December the 20th in the Somerville Way, an ordinary road area of the town. An Avon and Somerset police spokesman said, "We continue to appeal for information about the burglary." What started with a widow quietly dropping her wedding rings into a Salvation Army donation kettle has spawned spontaneous acts of jewellery generosity this holiday season. Boston's Feel Good Christian story took a new twist this week when an anonymous donor, originally from Australia, placed a diamond-encrusted cross pendant valued at $1,500 in one of the charity's trademark red kettles. The donor said she was inspired by a widow who gave her wedding and diamond engagement rings earlier this month and asked that proceeds be used to buy toys for poor children. This is followed by another widow who donated $21,000, 10 times what the rings were worth, so that she could return the donated jewelry to the original owner. "There's something special happening here in Boston," said Salvation Army Captain Myron Smith, who found the latest gift of expensive jewellery while emptying a kettle outside a supermarket. The Salvation Army said Tuesday the Australian woman donated her pendant to thank Bostonians for their warm welcome when she and her son recently relocated to the city. It was accompanied by a note that read, "I needed to find somewhere for us, particularly my son, to be happy again. We had visited Boston several times and always loved it here. Since relocating, people have been so warm, friendly, kind and accommodating to us, and I've been trying to think of a way to give back to the people of Boston." The donor said she was trying to figure out how best to help the poor when she saw news accounts of the widow who gave her rings in memory of her late husband. "This inspired me, and I've enclosed this diamond cross, which is symbolic of Christmas, and ask that you sell it and use the money to help those less fortunate this Christmas," the unidentified Australian wrote. The Salvation Army said the two widows plan to meet before Christmas so the original rings can be returned. And finally, police have urged the public to use 999 responsibly over the festive period after a woman called the emergency number to report that she was scared of a hedgehog in her back garden. Greater Manchester Police has released recordings of four irresponsible 999 calls made to the police as call handlers prepared for one of the busiest times of the year. The recordings include one call from a man whose pizza had not been delivered after 45 minutes and another who wanted to report that a vending machine would not return his money. Another man called the emergency line to report that a sports shop accused of theft after he would not give him a refund for a pair of trainers. The force released the recordings to highlight the challenges faced by call handlers while they try to answer genuine emergency calls. And on that note, I would like to wish all my listeners happy, safe, healthy and blessed 2015. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.